Return of the Cicada by Zyra A. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, Nirvana and Fire. Pairing, Lin Shu or Mei Cheng Su or Su Zhe. Xiao Jingyan. Jingyan had not slept for 3 days, most of which he'd been on horseback. In those 3 days, he had journeyed through dangerous terrain, fought down a rebellion, and brought his traitorous brother to his knees with his fingers cramping around the hilt of his sword. With the kingdom and the people in his heart safe, Jingyan nevertheless found no reprieve. There were reports on the damages and the dead to receive, the most urgent needs for recovery to organize, all while trying to keep his father from massacring another army of perceived rebels on the spot. But if there was one thing Jingyan knew, it was how to do his duty. He had been running on fury and heartbreak for so long that he wasn't sure he would even know how to stop, and keeping his mind engaged was the only thing that helped him ignore the gaping wound in his chest. Night had fallen many hours ago, when Nie Jianying had finally stepped in. His hand reached out, but stopped short from touching his prince's arm, and the breach of protocol, small but still so unlike his second-in-command, made Jingyan halt. Avoiding Lie Jiangying's knowing eyes, he signaled his understanding with a sharp nod. Many men had died senselessly in his brother's ploy of ruthless ambition, but those who survived needed rest and comfort, even if their prince was reluctant to permit himself the same. Exhaustion had begun to weigh down his limbs, but Jingyan refused to give in to it, even though he almost stumbled once he was back at his tent and took off his armor. The absence of its heavy burden only served to underline every ache in his joints, and the injuries that had been left untended. But that kind of physical discomfort was familiar, and almost welcome. It was something to focus on that was present and real, and that Jingyan knew how to deal with. Your Highness. Jingyan looked up to see Lie Jiangying start forward, eyes on the stains of dried blood on his prince's garments. I didn't realize your wounds were this severe. I will call for the physician immediately. Jingyan stopped him with a raised hand. There are others more in need of his attention tonight. You can call upon him in the morning. But your highness, Lie Jiangying protested, just like Jingyan knew he would. It's all right, he said, lacing his words with kindness. You can go. Take some rest. Lie Jiangying hesitated, his mouth pressed into a firm line, but Jingyan understood the unspoken objection as a sign of the worry that it was. He allowed himself a small smile when the young officer finally bowed and left. In another life, they might have been friends. But in this one, Lie Jiangying would always be a soldier first. Jingyan did not have friends. Not since. Closing his eyes, Jingyan let the familiar pain cut through him, sharper than any enemy's blade on the battlefield. 13 years had passed, but Jingyan still felt it as if it had been yesterday, that he was told that the brother he had looked up to was a traitor. The Qian army was no more, and his best friend, the boy Jingyan had loved since early childhood, was dead. Without honor, his body left to rot on the icy fields of Meiling. It was like being ripped apart, skin and tendons and flesh, until his heart lay exposed, withering in the sun. 13 years ago. The anguish and rage had completely consumed him, and it was a small wonder that he'd only been sent away, as far as was possible without calling it exile. Where he had learned to lock his emotions deep in his heart, and carry them with him, like shards of a life broken beyond repair. None of those emotions, though, was more perfidious than hope. Hope, where none was to be had, was a bitter poison, and Jingyan had thought he had rid himself of it. But then, Mei Tongsu arrived in Liang, and slowly but mercilessly, hope had clawed its way back into his soul. Now that he was alone, Jingyan could no longer keep his mind from conjuring up the face of Mei Tongsu, usually so calm and serene, and that caught expression upon it when he had pulled Jingyan's sword from its scabbard as if he had a right to do it. That moment when he had stepped into the empty spot beside Jingyan as if it had been waiting for him, their thoughts smoothly intertwining to weave a plan with just a word and a look of understanding, knowing what he had no right to know. It brought back all those times when Jingyan had felt like a madman for seeing his dead best friend in someone so very different from Lin Shu, who still made Jingyan feel something he had only ever felt in Xiao Shu's presence. It didn't make sense. But then nothing did anymore. The madness of hope was burning him from the inside out, until there was no way out but through. The darkness of the makeshift camp they had erected at the foot of the mountain was only illuminated by a few fires, but in that moment, Jingyan welcomed the cover of night. He stepped back out of his tent, wrapped in his simplest robe, and dismissed the guards with a single look before they could move to fall into step with him. His destination was not far. The battle ahead was one Jingyan could only win on his own. There was still a light burning inside Mei Tongsu's tent. Jingyan was glad to see that there was no one outside to announce him. He knew he was being rude when he entered the tent without so much as a word of warning, but he was not willing to cede the advantage of surprise. His self-appointed advisor was already in his sleeping garments, but wrapped in the ever-present fur cloak as he sat reading by the low light of an oil lamp, looking pensive and leaning towards the coal brazier, even though the room was already close to scorching. For a second, doubt crept back into Jingyan's heart as he remembered Lin Shu's wicked grins and quick laughter, his complete inability to sit still. Mei Changsu's eyes widened the moment he looked up, but not with surprise. That would be understandable. Instead, what Jingyan saw was panic, if only for a split second, before Mei Changsu awkwardly struggled to his feet and his face smoothed into the ever-polite mask that had become so familiar to Jingyan. But it was a mask.
Your High.
When Mei Changsu started to bow with perfect composure, Jingyan felt his sanity slipping away from him. Staring at the man who might be, couldn't be, had to be. Jingyan suddenly understood that the only way to look behind the mask was to rip it off. He crossed the room in a few quick strides and felt a brief flare of triumph when he saw the shock register on Mei Tongsu's face. For once, this was something he had not foreseen, and Jingyan didn't hesitate. He wrapped his arms around the other man and pulled him close, folding him into a tight embrace, the way he had longed to embrace Xiao Shu for the past 13 years. Mei Tongsu turned rigid in his arms.
Your Highness, what are you?
There was a catch in his voice, the razor's edge of emotion, and, for a second, Jingyan was back in the courtyard in the falling snow, heard that voice full of desperation. None of it proved anything. Not the way Mei Changsu's fingers would rub the edge of his sleeve, not the hurt in his eyes when Jingyan accused him of being just as ruthless as he claimed to be, or his own mother's tears for a man she had just met. There was always an explanation, but as reluctant as Jingyan had been to trust it, his heart knew, it just knew.
"I'm afraid I don't understand,"
Mei Changsu said, trying to sound puzzled.
"Is your highness all right?"
"Don't."
Jingyan pressed out as he hugged him even tighter. His heart was racing like a wild animal, and he wasn't sure if he could still remember how to breathe.
"Just stop talking. Don't do this. Not again."
When Xingyan's lungs started to burn, he sucked in a shaky breath, face pressed into the fabric of Mei Changsu's fur collar. His body felt so frail in Xingyan's arms, so different from Xiao Shu, who had been healthy as a horse.
"You have no idea. I thought I was losing my mind. For months now, I've been wondering if I was turning into a madman. Because you don't look like him, and you don't talk like him, you don't even act like him, so why would I think? But I know. I don't understand. Why? Why wouldn't you tell me?"
"Maybe if Your Highness could clarify what I should have told you?" Mei Changsu's voice was becoming strained. Xingyan could feel how short his breaths were coming, felt the quick extensions of his chest against his own body.
"Since I don't know what you're referring to..."
Xingyan swallowed a sob that wanted to escape his throat.
"I hate you,"
he choked. The sharp intake of breath that followed was like music to his ears.
"I hate you so much. If I have angered Your Highness, I apologize."
"Stop," Xingyan begged.
"Please, stop lying."
He raised his head, but did not let Mei Changsu escape his arms. Meeting those dark eyes, he saw a man who was haunted to the point of destruction.
"Xiao Shu,"
Xingyan whispered, his voice breaking. Turning his head to the side, Mei Changsu swallowed before he quietly said,
"I don't know why you would think, but you're mistaken." "I know I'm not."
Mei Changsu, no, Min Shu, didn't look at him, staring off into the distance with his face completely blank. Xingyan's chest felt tight. He could feel the shards digging further into his heart, and it cost him all his willpower when he finally stepped back.
"You will insist on it."
"I'm very sorry, Your Highness." It was said quietly, as if it did indeed pain him.
"But I cannot pretend to be someone I'm not."
Xingyan wanted to shake him, wanted to punch him and hug him again, but the other man looked like he might fly apart. Xingyan raised his eyebrows, unable to keep the bitterness from his voice, he asked,
"Isn't that all you've been doing since you set foot in Liang?"
He could see Lin Shu wanted to scowl, but Mei Changsu just lowered his eyes and remained silent.
"You know, it's quite strange,"
Xingyan said, his face impassive, but there was a tremor in his voice that betrayed the turmoil in his heart.
"I never told Mi Huang about the hidden path on the northern slope. And neither did you. Because it was our secret."
He paused as the pain of those memories took his breath away.
"I kept it."
Mei Changsu didn't react, but it was that non-reaction that Xingyan realized was Xiao Shu's biggest giveaway.
"Do you find me silly to have cherished your memory as I have?"
Xingyan pressed on.
"To keep your bow, your favorite books, to hold onto every little piece of you like a secret treasure."
He stopped, letting the silence linger for a moment before he said,
"Do you know, I even did as you asked."
That at least got his attention.
"Your Highness?" "The token you asked me for."
Xingyan took a step closer, and even without touching, being this close to one another had an intimacy of its own.
"Don't you remember?"
His eyes never left that mysterious face. Just like a mountain lake, its surface calm, but the hidden depth unfathomable.
"You wished me to bring you something for my journey to the Eastern Sea."
Mei Changsu stilled. His eyes found Xingyan's with a look of scarcely hidden disbelief.
"I did it,"
Jingyan allowed a hint of smugness to creep into his voice.
I brought you your pearl.
Is it the size of a chicken's egg? Jingyan felt as if a dagger was driven through his heart when those dark eyes widened almost imperceptibly, because there, staring at him, was his Xiaoshu. He had always hated it when Jingyan would get the best of him.
I heard that. Really?
Jingyan remarked dryly, although his heart was beating in his throat, and he didn't know if he wanted to cry or break down in hysterics.
Are you going to tell me Ni Huang told you about that as well?
His mother had often told him he had too soft of a heart, and for 13 years, Jingyan had locked it away in an ever-hardening shell of bitterness and anger. Now that shell cracked open wide in his chest, the grief and joy threatening to crush him like waves breaking at the shore of the eastern sea. Tears he had not allowed himself for 13 years were pushing at the corner of his eyes, and he couldn't have stopped himself from reaching out under penalty of death.
Xiaoshu.
He was pushed back with a surprising burst of strength.
I'm not him.
Wrong-footed, Jingyan stumbled back. He caught himself against a wooden chest and tried to swallow the shocked gasp when the fall jarred his injury and pain flared up along his side like a lick of fire.
I understand that your highness must be tired.
It was Xiaoshu's voice that cut through him, sharp as a knife. Xiaoshu's arrogance. Xiaoshu, who became harsh when backed into a corner.
But this is not the time to chase delusions. Even if Marceline was important to you, you have to accept that he's gone. You can't.
For a moment, the world around Jingyan grew dim and dizzy. He tried to blink away the black spots dancing before his eyes as he braced himself against the top of the chest.
Your Highness.
Breathing through the pain, Jingyan gritted his teeth, but couldn't quite stifle the grunt that escaped his throat.
Jingyan!
Suddenly, that harsh voice was breathless with worry. Jingyan shook his head.
It's nothing.
He pressed out, but when he gingerly touched his side, his fingers came away bloody. He turned around and found Xiaoshu looking white as a sheet, his eyes fixed on the dark stain on Jingyan's garments.
Your Highness.
He visibly swallowed. I had not realized how severely you were injured.
My apologies. Let me call for a physician. I'm afraid they're all occupied.
Jingyan sank back against the chest, still struggling for breath.
I'm sure they will make time for their prince.
The look Xiaoshu shot him seemed to question his mental faculties.
Of course they would. But this injury is not as grave as those of many the men have suffered. I can bear it.
Turning away from him, Xiaoshu took a deep breath, as if he was silently begging some deity for patience, and muttered something that sounded very much like, "Stupid water buffalo." Upon hearing the familiar insult, Jingyan wanted to weep as much as he wanted to rejoice.
Fine.
Xiaoshu let out a put-on sigh. And when he approached Jingyan, it was with the air of someone heading to his own execution.
Let me have a look, then.
Jingyan narrowed his eyes. For Xiaoshu, this wasn't an unusual request, but it certainly would have been for Mei Changsu.
It is very generous for Mr. Su to offer his services,
Jingyan said flatly.
I must see to it that this kindness is repaid in the future.
Not letting Xiaoshu escape his gaze, he slowly raised his hands to the belt around his waist and started to untie it. Xiaoshu knew very well that what he had asked would be inappropriate for a mere advisor, if the firm press of his lips were any indication. But he didn't back down. When the outer robe fell open, Xiaoshu hesitated, but only for a moment. Then he reached out and untied Jingyan's thin lower robe, pushing the layers aside to expose the wound where his brother's sword had grazed him in his last desperate attempt to win the upper hand. Looking down, Jingyan winced. He might have underestimated the injury after all. The gash ran almost along the whole length of his ribcage, and had started to bleed again, the skin around it mottled and swollen. Xiao Shu let out a sharp breath through his nose.
"Are you an idiot?"
he snapped, with a glare at Jingyan.
"How are you even standing?" "Right now. Obviously not very well."
"And what was your plan? To bleed out on the floor of my tent to spite me?" Xiao Shu's look could have incinerated a lesser man, but Jingyan had grown immune by exposure a long time ago. Shooting him a sideways glance, Jingyan pointedly raised his eyebrows.
"Would that have made you admit the truth?"
Immediately, Xiao Shu's face lost all expression, as if someone had wiped the slate. And when he spoke next, his voice didn't carry any trace of emotion. "The wound needs to be cleaned properly. I suggest your highness lie down on the bed." Jingyan didn't move. Instead, he looked up at his friend, openly taking him in. Everything about him was sharper, his features cut with almost inhuman precision. But most striking was the stillness, as if his face had indeed been chiseled out of stone. He refused to meet Jingyan's eyes, and part of Jingyan wanted to force him to not let go until he got his answers. But he knew that with Xiao Shu, simply pushing was of no use. If Jingyan was a water buffalo, Xiao Shu was a mule. Instead, he held out his hand.
"Help me up."
From the look Xiao Shu gave him, he knew it was a challenge, and he knew he couldn't refuse. He didn't take Jingyan's hand, but grabbed his arm, and Jingyan held on fiercely as he hoisted himself to his feet. Once he stood, there was barely a hand's width between them, close enough that Xiao Shu could feel the heat of Jingyan's body, that Jingyan could notice the unfamiliar and slightly bitter scent of medicinal herbs, with a strange note of ash beneath it. Not taking his eyes off Xiao Shu, who stared straight ahead, Jingyan was silent for a long, tense moment before he raised one eyebrow and quietly said,
"Help me to bed, then."
Xiao Shu seemed to grit his teeth.
"I'm afraid I don't have the strength to carry your highness. But since you've made it all the way here, probably by the force of your stubbornness alone, I'm sure you can walk a few more steps."
He sounded so petulant, Jingyan had to swallow a surprised laugh. Laughing was painful, but so was breathing, and Jingyan wasn't quite sure at this point if he was delirious from pain and frustration or from happiness. He swayed a little when Xiao Shu steered him towards the bed and let out a sharp breath when he was rather forcefully dumped on the mattress.
"Since Mr. Su insists on using my title, I assume he remembers my station."
Jingyan gasped. Now it was his turn to glare at Xiao Shu.
"Maybe you want to consider if it's wise to assault an imperial prince."
Xiao Shu huffed and sank down next to him, drawing Jingyan's robes open with far more care than his previous attitude would have indicated.
"It's not me who needs to remember your station," he muttered, as he examined the wound. "Stupid. Even an injury like this that wasn't life-threatening in the first place can become so if it's not treated, as well you know, your highness."
Jingyan indeed knew that, but also had a lot of practice in pushing his body beyond its endurance. Unfortunately, the end of that tether was fast approaching now. He let his head fall back against the pillows with an exhausted sigh.
"I've had worse."
There was a moment of silence, and when Jingyan turned his head, Xiao Shu looked at him with troubled eyes. Jingyan knew what he was thinking. All the times Jingyan had gone into battle, all the campaigns he'd fought in one godforsaken corner of the country after another, and all the injuries he'd sustained that Xiao Shu knew nothing about, when he had once known every scratch on Ding Yan's body. He didn't like that idea. Ding Yan could relate. Be that as it may, Xiao Shu's gaze finally dropped back to the bloody gash he was examining. I would appreciate it if you didn't ruin all our plans by dying of a wound infection. Ding Yan inclined his head, hiding a smile.
I shall try to be more careful in the future, he said,
before adding softly,
For now, I give myself into your hands.
Xiao Shu stilled, and for a second Ding Yan thought he saw something, something raw and familiar. But before he could pin it down, Xiao Shu had already turned away. He pushed himself up and stiffly walked over to the wooden chest, where he started to rummage through its contents, with his back to Ding Yan. Silence fell, and all Ding Yan could do was try to take shallow breaths and not let the pain and exhaustion overwhelm him.
I wonder where Fei Liu is,
Xiao Shu finally muttered. He called out the boy's name, but to no avail.
I guess he must have wandered off,
he mused, and shot Ding Yan a calculating look.
I thought it was strange that he just let you enter like that. He was still with Ting Sheng when I left earlier,
Ding Yan admitted. Xiao Shu seemed to have found what he was looking for, and now poured water into a bowl on the side table.
It seems like you planned this well.
He looked almost impressed. Ding Yan raised his eyebrows.
Hardly. You know me, I simply seize an opportunity when it arises.
Charge right ahead without thinking, you mean.
I do know my limits,
Ding Yan said, faking demureness.
I wouldn't dare try to outfox you.
The glare Xiao Shu shot him in response was beautiful, and almost let Ding Yan forget about the pain he was in.
Fei Liu!
Xiao Shu shouted again, louder this time. And either the boy had already been on his way back, or he had exceptionally good ears, because one moment later he appeared almost out of thin air, cheeks flushed and eyes bright.
Ah.
Xiao Shu smiled at the boy fondly.
There you are. Did you have fun with Ting Sheng?
Fei Liu nodded with a happy smile. Ding Yan was glad that Ting Sheng had found a friend in the strange boy. Fei Liu might seem sullen at first glance, but he had a good heart, and it was obvious that he had strong protective instincts with regard to the people he cared about. If, at the top of the list, those people were Xiao Shu and Ting Sheng, Ding Yan wholeheartedly approved. Ding Yan himself, on the other hand, was receiving some very grumpy looks right now.
Are you wondering what Prince Jing is doing here?
Xiao Shu asked, having caught Fei Liu staring as well. His eyes sparkling with amusement, he leaned towards the boy and loudly whispered,
The prince thought it was a good idea to run around with a gaping hole in his body. I think it's not, so I'm trying to convince him otherwise.
When Fei Liu scowled in Ting Yan's direction, Xiao Shu chuckled.
Oh, don't worry. He'll be fine. He's much too stubborn to die.
Strangely enough, that seemed to mollify Fei Liu. Xiao Shu cleared his throat.
Actually, I need some bandages from the physician's tent. Would you go and bring me some?
Fei Liu watched, still with a frown on his face, as Xiao Shu picked up the bowl and went to sit down on the bed next to Ding Yan. But when Xiao Shu gave him a questioning look, Fei Liu quickly nodded. He was just about to slip out of the tent, when he suddenly turned back and glowered at Ding Yan.
Water buffalo more careful, he said, making it sound like a reprimand. Sukugo worried.
Xiao Shu gave him an amused smile.
Did you hear that?
He asked Ding Yan.
Maybe you'll listen to a child.
Sukugo cries for water buffalo,
Fei Liu continued, as if to emphasize his request. And Xiao Shu's smile vanished.
Fei Liu.
True.
Xiao Shu looked almost affronted.
I do not.
You do. Faleo's brows pulled into a frown. You don't know. You sleep. Jingyan stared as the man sitting beside him in his pale blue sleeping clothes blushed, and he suddenly couldn't breathe. Helpless wonder bloomed in his chest, filling his heart to the brim. If you could fetch me those bandages now, Faleo. Xiaoshu said pointedly, and then turned back to Jingyan as soon as the boy had vanished, glaring daggers at him. There is really no need for you to look so smug. Jingyan didn't know what to say. He hadn't even realized he was smiling. His body was half numb and half on fire, and there were too many emotions roiling inside of him to be able to put them into words. 13 years worth of anguish, bitterness, and regret were colliding with an indescribable rush of joy and disbelief, and it all left him breathless and aching. Words rose from the bottom of his soul like a confession.
I missed you.
Xiaoshu looked as if he'd been slapped. His eyes shot up to meet Jingyan's, and then quickly dropped back to the bowl, carefully balanced on his knees. But for that fracture of a moment, Jingyan had seen the grief and despair behind his calm demeanor. Xiaoshu started to rub the fabric of his sleeve with his fingers and then abruptly stopped, his hand balling into a fist instead as he seemed to fight for composure. Finally, after taking a deep breath, he said, his voice hoarse,
I need your highness to take off your robes.
Jingyan swallowed, torn between his need to reach out and his unwillingness to add to his friend's torment. He closed his eyes and clamped down on the rise of emotions. When they were boys, there had been no shame or secrets between them. They had known each other's bodies like the back of their hands, and there was no reason for Jingyan's heart to stumble in his chest now. Watching Xiaoshu's face in the low light of the lanterns, Jingyan slowly slid the outer robe off his shoulders, but kept the thin shift of his undergarments for modesty's sake. Xiaoshu had added a few drops from the small glass bottle to the bowl in his lap, his expression completely blank now as he dipped a soft piece of cloth into it and wrung out the excess water. His movements were stiff but efficient, and he wouldn't meet Jingyan's eyes as he gently pushed the loose shift aside and started to clean the blood from his liege's chest and stomach, pausing now and then when his fingers lightly brushed against a knot of scar tissue that had not been there 13 years ago. Jingyan, on the other hand, couldn't take his eyes away. The pain was mostly bearable, but the soft brush of Xiaoshu's fingers against his skin robbed him of his breath. And he couldn't help it when a memory rose up in his mind, treasured like a dragonfly in amber, of that last autumn hunt they had spent together at Mount Jio'an. He could almost feel the ghost of fingers digging into the loose hair at the nape of his neck, of warm lips pressing against his, sweet with the juice of the last wild summer berries, and the love that had blossomed in his heart, new and old at the same time, and still untainted by sorrow. As if of its own volition, Jingyan's hand moved and caught Xiaoshu's pale one in its grasp. But where his hands had been strong and just a little rough, the hands of an archer bearing scars from training and many wild adventures, they were now smooth as silk and completely void of their former vigor.
Xiaoshu.
Jingyan's voice faltered, and when Xiaoshu finally looked up, Jingyan could see his own emotions reflected back in the storm brewing in his dark eyes. Jingyan couldn't bear it. He pushed himself up and reached out to clasp Xiaoshu's shoulders, drawing him close when he didn't meet any resistance, until he could gently wrap his arms around Xiaoshu's thin frame.
Don't pull at your wound, you stupid water buffalo.
Xiaoshu whispered brokenly against Jingyan's shoulder.
Don't you know you're bleeding? I know.
Jingyan buried his face in Xiaoshu's hair, finding the softness achingly familiar.
I got used to it. There are things you can live with. But others... others you will never be able to let go. Let me just...
He broke off as the tears he'd been carrying for so long finally spilled over his cheeks.
Just let me hold you like this for a moment.
Tien.
For all those years I've prayed to any higher power willing to listen, to grant me just this one wish. Give him back. Return him to me. Just give me one day, a single hour, whatever it takes.
Qingyan. Xiaoshu's voice was faint, as if coming from his grave.
I'm afraid even the heavens can't grant you that wish. They have. You're here.
Xiaoshu shook his head, but he didn't let go of Qingyan.
I wish I could be your Xiaoshu. But that person no longer exists. Even if what happened to you has changed your face and weakened your body, you're still...
It's more than that. You said it yourself. I'm nothing like your Xiaoshu.
Do you really believe that matters to me?
Qingyan asked, pain and disbelief clouding his voice.
That I wouldn't love you in any reincarnation.
Xiaoshu stilled and then slowly pulled back. For a moment, he stared at Qingyan, with a face that seemed to fight a deadly battle to keep his emotions from coming to the surface, until he finally looked away with a bitter laugh.
Have you not told me from the start how much you despise a person like me, who schemes and manipulates from the shadows, their mind only filled with dark and evil plans?
He asked, his voice filling with disgust.
I am a demon spit from the gates of hell, a wraith whose only purpose is to haunt those who have betrayed the noble heroes of the Qian army.
Qingyan had thought his heart already broken, but seeing Xiaoshu's self-loathing ripped open what did not have a proper chance to heal.
Is that why you wouldn't tell me?
He asked with a lump in his throat.
Because you thought I would hate you. Or because you wanted me to hate you.
Xiaoshu's silence was answer enough.
It's true, Qingyan said quietly. I misjudged you in the beginning, as I suspect you wanted me to. But all you have done since then, have you not only exposed the evil plans and crimes of others? Those you have led to ruin, did they not really ruin themselves? All your plans and schemes, were they not for the sake of justice, to weed out corruption and help the betterment of the people? And without any wish for recognition or promise of personal gain?
Qingyan paused, studying the mysterious face of Mei Changsu, that over the past year had become familiar and dear to him, and now was irrevocably blending into the features of Lin Chu in his mind. Right now, that face was frozen in shock.
I can't think of anything more noble than what you have done,
Qingyan said, finally reaching out to trace the lines of Xiaoshu's brow with his fingertips.
Or anyone more worthy to possess my heart.
In that moment, Xiaoshu looked more vulnerable than Qingyan had ever seen him. It was lacerating his heart. When a sharp cough suddenly racked his frail body, he had to hold onto the bowl in his lap with trembling hands as the water splashed over his robes and onto the floor.
Xiaoshu.
Worried, Qingyan reached out, ignoring the pain caused by the movement.
What is it? Is it your illness? Mother said.
Xiaoshu shook his head.
It's nothing to worry about. My health is not good, but mostly stable. The conditions of the past few days have just not been ideal.
Dread and guilt washed over Qingyan like a bucket of ice water.
I understand. I shouldn't have imposed on you like this when you're not feeling well. I apologize. I will send for a physician.
Xiao Shu looked up at him with a wry smile.
The one that's too occupied to take care of an imperial prince.
Jing Yan opened his mouth, but had no words to refute Xiao Shu. Finally, he took the bowl from Xiao Shu's hands, with gentle fingers.
You look tired, though, he said quietly. Maybe I should go back.
You should let me take care of your wound. As if that had been his cue, the flap of the tent was drawn back, and Feilio came in, his arms full of rolled-up bandages. He stopped at the sight of his Sukugo and Prince Jing in what could have been described as an intimate pose. But since Feilio was really more like a child and had no understanding of propriety, all he did was frown a little and then come over and drop the bandages in Xiao Shu's lap. He looked from Xiao Shu to Jing Yan and back again, his expression a little confused. Jing Sheng, he said, seeming to have just made a decision, and then turned on his heel and vanished as quickly as he arrived. Xiao Shu looked after him with a curious expression.
That might be the best, he muttered,
and then picked up the bandages. He hesitated for a moment before he calmly said,
I'm afraid I have to ask you to undress further for this.
Jing Yan raised a single eyebrow, but did as he was told. The pain in his wound was a dull ache that had slowly spread through his body like ink and water. He concentrated on his breathing while Xiao Shu wrapped up his wound, but couldn't help but shiver under the soft touch of those fingers and the brush of loose hair against his chest when Xiao Shu bent forward to reach around Jing Yan. When he felt the ghost of Xiao Shu's warm breath against his neck, Jing Yan tensed, but then closed his eyes as he tried to restrain his ardent longing.
Will you tell me what happened to you?
He finally asked, when the silence was becoming oppressive, charged with too many half-truths and things unsaid. Xiao Shu stopped for a second, and then said,
It's better if you don't know.
Jing Yan scowled.
Do you still not trust me?
It's not an issue of trust. It's just that I don't really like talking about it.
Or will you tell me how you acquired every one of those scars on your body?
Xiao Shu traced a raised patch of skin on Jing Yan's left upper arm.
Mace, Jing Yan deadpanned. The general of a rebel army on the western border. We were outnumbered, so I engaged him in close combat. It is best to cut off the head to destroy the body.
Xiao Shu flinched a little, but nodded, and let his fingers wander to a faded silver line on Jing Yan's throat.
Pirate captain tried to strangle me when we took over his ship.
When Xiao Shu touched the barely visible nick at the side of his jaw next, Jing Yan caught his hand, but nevertheless answered the unvoiced question.
My father.
When Xiao Shu looked up with a surprised frown, Jing Yan added,
He threw an inkpot at me when I dared question the charges of treason against my brother and best friend upon my return from the East Sea.
Xiao Shu remained silent, his expression deeply conflicted. Jing Yan turned his hand until he could gently press his fingers against Xiao Shu's pulse point.
Please,
he begged,
tell me, don't you think I deserve the truth by now?
A tear ran down the pale cheek, and Xiao Shu looked up with a painful smile.
You deserve so much more than the truth, Jing Yan.
As if to busy his hands, he reached out and picked up the teapot from the tray next to the bed, pouring a cup before handing it to Jing Yan.
Here, he said. Drink this.
Suspiciously, Jing Yan raised the cup and took in the unfamiliar smell.
What is this?
Something for your pain. Jing Yan gave him a searching look.
You're not trying to sedate me to prevent me from asking questions, are you?
Xiao Shu glared at him. If you'd rather keep suffering, be my guest. He made a move as if to take the cup back, but Jingyan held it out of his reach.
Ah, I'll drink it,
he said, and then drained the bitter tea in one gulp before handing the cup back with an apologetic smile. Xiao Shu huffed.
Honestly, would I sedate you in my own bed? I have to send you back soon, or someone will realize you're gone and think I've kidnapped you. Let them.
Jingyan sank back against the pillows and let out a long sigh as he closed his eyes. Jingyan.
I know.
He reached for Xiao Shu's hand again.
Just let me stay for another moment. Just a little while.
He blinked his eyes open with some difficulty.
You look tired, too. You should rest for a bit.
I would, but you're in my bed.
Never used to bother you before. And it would hardly be the first time.
He slid over to make room for him, and with a long-suffering sigh, Xiao Shu arranged himself next to Jingyan, his hands folded on his lap. After a moment, he asked softly,
Did you really bring me back that pearl?
Jingyan smiled up at him wryly.
When have I ever failed to do what you asked of me? But that was a ridiculous thing to ask in the first place. Of course it was,
Jingyan said, closing his eyes again.
Have you met yourself?
But then why would you...
Back then, I thought it meant that you... I thought it was a challenge. Everything else you had ever asked of me. Weapons or books or... Those were things you would ask of a friend. But then you asked me to bring you a pearl, and I thought... If I can find it, you would understand. You would let me acknowledge that. How I truly felt for you.
Jingyan. Jingyan smiled ruefully. The pain had become a faint discomfort now, and he could feel his thoughts begin to slip away. When the light grew dim, he blinked, but his eyelids were heavy, and it became a struggle to keep them open. He should have known. Xiao Shu had always been a devious bastard.
Xiao Shu, you lied to me.
I did, Xiao Shu said quietly, his cool fingers wrapped around Jingyan's.
I'm sorry.
Jingyan's eyes closed. As he was slowly sinking into the mist, he whispered,
I forgive you.
Somewhere in his dream, Jingyan felt lips brush against his forehead. The scent of herbs enveloped him, and for a moment, he wondered whether his mother was there with him. He tried to speak, but there were no words left, and all that lingered was the taste of ash on his lips. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.